web support from Vanessa Tate and Leslie Holmes. Our interns are Rosalind Fay, Susan Shelley, Fernando Romero, Christopher Martinez, and William Perdomo.
And a whole lot of other people, I'm sure, work together on that. But right now, this is Off the Hook. It's 7 o'clock. You're listening to WBAI in New York.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. We couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. Oh, Billy Bump for the best, expect the worst. I hope that's understood, but Billy Bump!
Good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Manuel Goldstein here with you on this Wednesday. Yeah, it's Wednesday, right? I can never keep track myself, and a lot of other people always ask me, on Tuesdays or Wednesdays? It's Wednesdays. Yeah, every
it's
Wednesday.
Seven.
Every Wednesday, 7 p.m. And actually, I have some exciting news. In a few weeks, we're going to be having a fundraiser. That's exciting in itself. But to make it even more exciting, it is my understanding that I mentioned the book Kevin Mitnick had written, which will be on the shelves probably in about another month or so. Kevin will be in New York City on a book tour at that time, and he'll be joining us here in the studio on October 16th, I believe. 16th or 17th, whichever. Yeah, 16th. That's a Wednesday. So that'll be part of our fundraising drive here at WBAI. And who knows, maybe we can take phone calls and answer all kinds of questions and things like that. It'll be a lot of fun. So mark that on your calendars. I know I've marked it on mine, and hopefully the folks here at BAI will mark it on theirs. What's new? Anything happening in the world that I should know about, since I've been kind of a recluse the last week?
Is the color still orange?
No. The color changed. That's right.
It changed again.
It's like a traffic light. it went back to yellow.
Oh, good.
We're now at yellow again.
I feel so much more relaxed.
I'm thinking, you know, we should do something. You know, in the patriotic fervor and all that kind of thing. Like, I was thinking with our internet store, you know, we have 2,600 items and things like that, where the prices change depending on what color it is. So if we all get together and make, what's the safest color? Green? Is that what it is?
It's either green or blue. I'm
so,
not sure.
Okay, if it gets to green, everything is free. You know, so that's incentive for everybody
I can see problems here.
Well, we'd go bankrupt for one thing. Yeah, obviously, that would be a problem. But, you know,
the
it's
odds
a
are
small price to pay for security, isn't it?
But
if we turn red,
Now, that's an interesting point. I mean, it's sort of like food just before the apocalypse. Do you charge an awful lot? I mean, how are you going to spend it after the you-know-what hits the fan?
Yeah, I know.
Or do you make it totally free and, you know, be morally upright?
And is theft justified when you're starving?
That's not quite the same thing. You're not yet starving. It's
but
just before
be.
The you-know-what hits the fan.
Yeah. I don't know. So right now we're yellow. The condition is yellow. I don't know what that... If someone out there knows what that means differently as far as we're supposed to be alert instead of vigilant or something like that. Is that the deal? Because even green, I don't think green means you can just like lie back and close your eyes and pretend nothing's happening.
I think they would argue that no color of this schedule means
so
that you can
what
lie
is
back.
The point of any colors? I mean, it's so silly. And it's like they can never back out of it. They can never back out of this system. What are they going to do? They're going to say, oh, we're not going to have colors anymore. It's really sad.
Well, everyone had forgotten about it when it didn't change for a year, but then they
we didn't forget about it. We talked about it every week.
Well, we talked
we're
about
different.
It, but normal people who are not us.
Now everyone's into it.
Yeah. Now everyone's excited about it again.
Well, okay, so we're at yellow, which is, that's five, right? So we're at the middle. So there's like one more good, I predict it's going to go to one more, you know, good color, as sort of like a pat on the head to us for you know,
and
following
then,
orders,
then we'll have another
thing.
Big incident that will send us back up the scale, right?
Yeah. Well, it'll go back to yellow.
Oh.
I don't think we're going to go to orange again for a while, but we'll see. And, you know, if something horrible happens, if it's a terrorist act, are they really going to focus attention on, okay, it's time to change the color now? You know, that's someone's job is going to be to change the color.
I don't think so, because then everybody on the opposing political side will say, well, that's locking the barn door after the horse is gone.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Okay, we have, as always, a whole table full of news here. We'll be taking your phone calls a little bit later on. What shall we start with? Well, interesting news from the FCC, the governing body of broadcasting here in this country, which is kind of funny when you say it because you realize that's not really all that true. The FCC, I saw this story and I said, wow, you know, maybe there's hope, because I'm like that, I'm naive. FCC launches wide review of broadcast ownership rules. I said to myself, wow, you know, maybe finally they're looking into this mess where, you know, Clear Channel owns like 1,500 radio stations and the same company competes against itself inside cities, and there's no diversity and there's no community access to radio. It's all like one big, horrible monopoly of just a couple of different companies and things like that. But you know what? I looked a little deeper into this, and these are the subtopics the FCC is going to be examining. Examining regulations that prevent one company from owning a newspaper and television station in a single market, that effectively limit the number of TV stations one company can own by capping the national audience reach of a broadcaster at 35%, limit the number of radio stations one company can own in a local market, prevent the big four networks from buying one another, and limit the number of radio and TV stations one company can own in a single market. So it's, they don't care about us. They just care about these big companies and how much more they can possibly buy. That's all they're concerned about. It's really pathetic, but that's what it's all about.
I knew as soon as you said it, and I should have pointed this out to you, the metaphysical aspects. Mm-hmm. You said you had hope when you read the title. Well, as everybody who listens to the show regularly knows, at first there was hope.
My hope always dashed.
Then it was beyond hope.
Yeah. Are you happy you got to use that line?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. It was worth it. It was a sudden blast of inspiration.
Wearing a Beyond Hope t-shirt, too. Which I'm surprised. Is actually, since 1997, is actually still in pretty good shape. So,
high-quality merchandise at store.2600.com.
Uh-huh. You want to update people on this
story? Sure, okay. Sure. As we talked about, I think, a few weeks ago, RaiseTheFist.com, which is an anarchist website run by this guy, Sherman Austin, out in Los Angeles, he was raided back in January for allegedly hosting information that could be used to build bombs. This is the sort of information you can find in your local library or on Amazon.com or wherever, but apparently if you're an anarchist, it's illegal to have this information. He just pled guilty to this crime, so he's going to be serving a month in jail for...
Okay, I have a couple of questions on that. First of all, do you know why he pled guilty?
I think he was just kept getting harassed. I'm not really sure why.
It didn't strike me as the kind of person that would eventually plead guilty. I thought he'd fight it to the very end. Second, though, for that kind of a charge, a month in prison, you'd think they'd want to throw him in for 10 years.
Well, he didn't actually build any bombs.
It doesn't matter. You know how they think. You know, they probably would say that he made somebody else build something and, you know, all kinds of...
Maybe this is a case of the nation's lax gun laws working to our advantage. I don't know.
Okay, so... when does he get sentenced?
The plea bargain included the sentence. There's a month in prison, some time in a halfway house, and then supervised release.
Uh-huh. And what about the website? Is that still up?
The website is still up, but that information, I couldn't find it last time I looked at the website. You can still get the information, though, from our friend Dave Turetsky at CMU.
Okay. Yeah, I saw the charge, and it was something like provided information about building bombs with the intent of using it.
Yeah, I don't understand how you can prove that.
I don't understand what that even means. What is using it? Is using it reading the information? Is using it building something? Is using it blowing something up? You know, and again,
well, he's not been charged with building anything or blowing anything up, so I don't know.
But providing it on the net so that somebody would. I don't know.
Well, maybe I'm just unaware, but I'm unaware of any individual who has built a bomb based on that information.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even information about bombs. You know, there's something about a Molotov cocktail or something.
All right. Well, I mean, information deserves to be out there. It's been out there forever, and I think once we start regulating it and keeping people from knowing things, like knowing how to build a Molotov cocktail, for instance, that's in the Anarchist Cookbook. All kinds of bits of information are out there. Once we start restricting it, it's really a bad direction to head in. Okay, here are some more things to go over. This person writes in about the TCPA. Have you heard about the TCPA?
Yeah.
No.
You have. Okay. You know what it is?
It's bad.
It's anything ending in CPA usually is bad, but TCPA, yes. That's Trusted Computing Platform Alliance.
This is the Palladium thing, right?
Yeah. It's related to that. TCPA stands for, as I said, Trusted Computing Platform Alliance. It was thought up by Intel. And Microsoft was the first to jump on it, and they have their own implementation called Palladium. Basically, what TCPA-compliant computer systems do is they make it impossible to run software or use files that haven't been certified by the vendor. Pirated files or software can be detected by the vendor and remotely deleted. Remotely deleted. The security is done by a chip called Fritz. Do you know why it's called Fritz?
Could it be Senator Hollings?
Well, it's not Fritz the cat. Yeah, it's Senator Fritz Hollings of South Carolina, who has been working to make TCPA a mandatory part of all consumer electronics. So here are some examples. Our listener, who we'll call Tom from Belgium, gives us. You're running Linux or other non-proprietary operating systems, so you can't use or swap files with TCPA-compliant systems because Linux is not TCPA. You run a program that is categorized by your vendor as harmful or illegal. They delete it remotely. Your content will be filtered and censored by the large corporations. Get this one. This is a good one. You buy a generic ink cartridge made by a smaller company that isn't sold by Company X for your Company X printer, and the printer will refuse to print in high resolution because the cartridge isn't made by Company X. Technically, it'll work the same, but they'll make excuses about low performance or the fact that other companies can't make them as good as they can. So that's what we have to look forward to, and this is something we can plan on seeing in new implementations of Microsoft products. For a really good FAQ on the subject, go to this site, www.cl.cam.ac.uk/squigglerja14/tcpa-faq.html. And if you missed that, I'm not going to say it again. Listen to the show on the internet, and you can get it from there. But there's a really good
the problem
bunch
is
of questions there.
It's also mentioned in the current Village Voice, the Mr. Roboto column. Somebody has a problem where a piece of software they put on a new computer suddenly disappears, and it's the guy speculates that apparently it's that.
Mm-hmm. Are they out already? Are computers actually using this now?
I don't know. I skimmed the article. Uh-huh. It's the Village Voice with the Osama bin Laden driving the cab cover. And, it was mentioned in the Mr. Roboto column about 20 pages in.
How about that?
Yeah.
Okay, the manager of the Dalai Lama's computer network alleged Tuesday that the Chinese government has repeatedly tried to hack into it over the past month. Can you imagine the Dalai Lama is upset about his system being hacked into by the Chinese? Yeah, Chinese hackers designed a virus to plug into the network and steal information. That's according to the manager of the Tibetan Computer Resource Center in Dharamsala. The center provides internet services and manages the network of the Tibetan Buddhist leaders' government in exile. Non-governmental organizations lobbying on behalf of Tibetans were also targeted by the virus, which was attached to an email designed to look as if it originated from his own office. Well, it doesn't matter if you're an office worker here in the States or the Dalai Lama. Do not open attachments. Very simple logic there. And you'll be fine if you follow those simple rules. I don't know how much this has to do with hacking either. It's basically people being stupid.
Speaking of the Red Chinese, they have a to-do going with Google. If you type...
Red Chinese?
They're embarrassed.
I'm trying to differentiate between the oppressive regime on the mainland and the Taiwanese oppressive regime on the island.
Do they have a color, too, or do only the people on the mainland
I think
have a
they
color?
Are actually coincidentally...
Because really red is the highest level of alert.
They happen to be red, white, and blue, believe it or not, the Taiwanese flag. Anyway, let me continue.
That doesn't surprise me somehow.
They have a to-do going with Google. If you try to access Google from mainland China, mm-hmm. you get a Chinese government-run server that looks like Google, acts like Google, says it's Google, but isn't Google. It, in fact, if you type in, who's the head of China? Can't think of the guy's name.
Mao Zedong.
No, he's dead.
House of Yutong is dead? No one told me.
20 years, 30 years even. 25 years or so.
I never noticed.
Yeah, well, of course. You never noticed when he was alive either. You get 100,000 entries on Google here in the States about this guy. You get 5 on the official Red Chinese Google imitation. No, it's an article in the Times. How can I access it? I'm here.
Well, I'm just saying, you know.
Actually, I could. They give the actual IP
address.
Maybe
some of our Chinese listeners, and yes, I know you're out there, maybe you could access this and tell us the truth. You know, we'd like to hear from you. I mean, it's in the Times. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. We don't know for sure.
I believe the Times often?
I believe some of what the Times says, but I don't believe it without questioning.
Good. I don't know.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting. And I heard that story a couple of weeks ago. I'm not sure if it's... I heard Google was back, and then it wasn't working quite as well. And I'm not sure. I'm not sure what's going on just now. The story about the mother hitting her kid outside the mall has raised all kinds of questions about the cameras in parking lots. You guys heard about this?
Oh, yes.
Few areas are watched as closely these days as shopping centers and their parking lots, including in Charlotte, North Carolina, and other parts of both North and South Carolina. Mall managers and retailers have made surveillance a key tool in their fight against shoplifting, auto theft, and protection from frivolous lawsuits. In the wake of the terrorist attacks, surveillance will only increase, according to experts. The mall down there opened in 1999 with a $500,000 video surveillance system, and it was recently expanded to monitor its roof and underground supply tunnels in response to terrorist alerts. Although cameras have been catching shoplifters and auto thieves in parking lots for years, privacy experts question whether most Americans understand they are being watched even after they leave a store. Maybe it's just going to be a wake-up call, said Kate Rears, editorial director of the Electronic Privacy Information Center in Washington. When I'm in my car, maybe I don't have as much privacy as I thought I did. That's what people should be saying. On Monday in an Indiana court, Madeline Gorman Toogood, what a great name, Toogood. How do you have names like Toogood when you're accused of a crime? Does that help you in court?
I don't think so.
Does anyone have the name Innocent, I wonder?
It's usually a first name.
Madeline Innocent. Oh, anyway, she was arraigned on a felony charge of battery to a child, and a magistrate entered an innocent plea on her behalf. The September 13th video was recorded by a camera in a parking lot outside a Kohl's store in Mishawaka and shown repeatedly on national TV. Her attorney said there was no point in trying to challenge the videotape. It is what it is, he said. We will probably enter a guilty plea and throw ourselves on the mercy of the court. Okay, well, he's telling us how that's going to turn out. I wasn't aware that there were cameras that could focus on people as they walk into their cars and follow them around.
Have you seen the tape?
I did see the tape,
okay.
Yes.
Okay, so it's a pretty darn good close-up.
It is a good close-up. So somebody I don't think the camera was doing that itself. Someone was zooming in and following.
Possibly.
Right?
It's tough to tell.
Yeah. Besides detecting crime, various systems will allow mall security to spot medical emergencies, stranded motorists, lost children, and even hazardous spills on the floor. We are primarily interested in public safety, said a spokesman.
For the night watch.
Yeah. From a dimly lit room in the back of the mall, employees work round the clock monitoring feeds from 76 cameras, including several in the parking lot. They can be directed to follow a shoplifting suspect from a store, through the food court, out an exit, across the parking lot, into a car, and even onto the entrance ramp for the nearby interstate.
Jeez.
Is it foolproof, they're asked? No, but having 76 more sets of eyes helps. Yeah, that's technology for you. Ask yourself now, people listening.
We get enough of these and terrorism will become impossible. The color will change.
Lots of things will become impossible.
Well, the question I had in mind was, are you on camera right now?
Do you know?
No, you probably wouldn't. You know, everything from these baby monitors or babysitter monitors that are hidden in light bulbs and things like that to cameras from the stores and street cameras and all kinds of things like that. You never know when you're on camera.
Well, nose picking will go down.
I wouldn't count on it. All right. Police have arrested a 21-year-old man suspected of writing a virus that attacks Linux computer systems, according to Scotland Yard. The suspected computer hacker was arrested Tuesday. Again, you write a virus, you're a hacker. I'm not sure if that necessarily follows. He may be a hacker, but not because of this. Suspected computer hacker was arrested Tuesday at his home in southwest London on suspicion of writing the Torn virus that masquerades as legitimate software to enter computer systems. Police seize computer equipment, which is being analyzed by officers from Scotland Yard's Computer Crime Unit. They say the unit has been investigating Torrens since November 2001 after it received information from the FBI. The man was not identified because he has not been charged, and that's a nice system there. He was arrested under the Computer Misuse Act of 1990 and was released on bail. Basically, Torn provided hackers with the equivalent of a set of skeleton keys, which lets you into everybody's house, if you want to use the house analogy, which I really don't want to use. So that's an update on that story there. There are speed cameras being installed all over the place. The speed camera experiment begun a few months ago could be about to expand into a citywide grid of cameras in Washington, D.C. That's according to the Washington Times. They've learned that the city has the option of modifying the contract it originally signed with Lockheed Martin, the supplier of the photo radar units, to erect a much more comprehensive automated traffic enforcement program that would make it possible to ticket literally millions of motorists every year at almost any time and any place in the city. Under the terms of the contract tendered by Lockheed Martin IMS to William M. Cartiz of the Metropolitan Police Department, the contract was to one guy in the police department, that's interesting, speed on green photo radar units that track the rate of travel of automobiles as they pass through intersections could be set up all over downtown. According to the language of the contract, photo radar and speed on green units will target all vehicles traveling above the posted speed limit. This represents an order of magnitude increase beyond the initial small-scale use of photo radar that involved one fixed unit and five mobile units installed in city police vehicles that could be set up at various points around town. So basically what this means is that you could get a ticket for going 1 mile above the speed limit. Yeah. They basically say here that the speed limit in Washington, D.C. is 25 miles per hour in almost all the streets. Using cameras to maximize the revenue stream in this manner and for the partial benefit of a private contractor, because they get a cut of this, establishes a new level of effrontery that will be hard to top.
I'm not so interested in increasing anybody's revenue stream, but I should note that the speed limit in New York is 30 because the city is not allowed to lower the speed limit it's set in Albany. So I would be in favor of this if it were actually used to improve safety. That's debatable whether or not that
I
happens.
I am not in favor of getting a ticket every time I go 1 mile above the speed limit or even 10 miles above the speed limit.
Going 30 in New York City is not safe,
well,
regardless
depends,
of the posted
speed limit. It depends where you are in New York City. It really is. I mean, you know, if you can see except 30 blocks and it's 4 o'clock in the morning and there's nobody around, you know, it's safer to go faster than 30 miles an hour. It is. I mean, you know. Just ask the cops who drive around at 65 miles an hour.
Well, they should be fired.
I don't think they're going to get any tickets.
Probably not.
The point is, all this rigid adherence to rules and regulations is really it's making it very unpleasant just to live freely. And if you go on any highway, everybody does a little bit above the speed limit. It's like an accepted part of life. But go ahead, try and implement this and see what the reaction will be. And I think it won't last very long. From the Register, cyber terrorism hyping has reached new heights, according to a report in the Melbourne Herald Sun. The Herald quotes expert Matthew DeVost, speaking at a meeting at the U.S. consulate there recently, as claiming the CIA believes at least 100 countries are investigating waging war by computer or cyber terror. That's right. Mr. DeVost is proprietor of Terrorism.com, incidentally, which is something of a misnomer as he's in the counterterrorism game. Should any bona fide terrorist take him to the ICANN disputes panel, we fear he'd be on difficult ground. But 100 countries. Could the CIA possibly believe this? Who are these countries? How many do we need to worry about? 6? 12? DeVost is quoted as saying, what are the capabilities of number 100 on the list? Well, disappointingly, it turns out that a lot of questions have not been answered, so we have no idea what the point of saying 100 countries are working on it is, aside from trying to grab headlines. But, it does get your attention, I guess.
These alerts...
I'm sorry.
These alerts strike me as somebody saying, you know, there are thousands of people out there with baseball bats which could be used to bash people over the head with. We've got to do something about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, it sounds pretty good once, but then immediately you think about it and say, you've got to be kidding. Well, except that you're not.
Yeah, it appears that way. It's an interesting article that I just discovered on the net as well. It's cutting-edge city crime that's not yet been seen outside New York City, but experts warn that the crime known as John Chalking, a sinister system to steal restrooms, will move across the world at the speed of the internet. There's nothing funny about this. John Chalkers scour the city for unprotected restrooms, then leave a series of marks on a nearby wall or sidewalk for fellow criminals to follow their lead. Local businesses are outraged. With access to our restrooms, the hackers can overhear secret conversations and compromise national security, said Police Chief Hart Mulker. My policemen can't work without going to the bathroom. These guys are compromising the security of our city. Businesses are not thrilled either. It's theft plain and simple, said one restaurant owner. The bathrooms are here for paying customers, not just any vagabond who walks in off the street. But the John Chalkers themselves claim otherwise. These places pay a fixed rate for their bathrooms. It doesn't cost them anything if I use their bathroom for a little bit, according to people that are engaged in that kind of thing. It's very easy for people to lock their bathrooms so they don't want people using them. Anyway, it's not like we're picking up their toilets and taking them home or something. They can always use them when we're done. Some John Chalkers even feel they're doing a service to these businesses. When you see the chalk marks, you know that people are using your bathrooms, and then you can secure them. A recent study by the Bartner Group showed that 70% of restrooms were completely unsecured and 90% had inadequate security. The homeless and travelers are thrilled with the development. You know, when you really have to go, it's much easier to just look for the chalk marks and try every restaurant in town, said a tourist named Doris. I mainly see it as a way for people with public restrooms to let the world know. An FBI spokesman says the problem is much more serious. Everyone needs to be aware that these unscrupulous individuals are out there and work to secure their restrooms, he wrote in an advisory. Such open facilities simply encourage terrorists and child pornographers. The phenomenon shows no sign of abating. People just have to go to the bathroom. That's not going to change anytime soon. Well, in case you haven't figured it out by now, that's a parody of a story there that you can find on War Chalking? Is that what the term is called?
Yeah.
.org. What is war chalking, Mike?
War chalking, why are you asking me?
Because you know these things.
Yeah, I do, actually. War chalking is apparently the practice of going around and marking with chalk unprotected wireless networks.
That's right. Yeah, you walk around with a laptop and you find all the networks. We demonstrated this at the conference, so if you don't know, you know what we're talking about, you have only yourself to blame because we've already talked about this quite a bit. Basically, yeah, you find unprotected networks and you mark them down. That means you can go over to where that chalk mark is, turn on your computer, and be on the internet like that. And God knows what else you can do, too. You can probably look at all kinds of internal things. So, yeah, there's a whole big hue and cry about people doing this and quote-unquote invading privacy. There's nothing invasive about it. It's basically everything is out there, unencrypted, wide open. And it basically serves as education, too. But it's a good idea for the bathrooms, too, I think, because they make it entirely too difficult to go to the bathroom unless you buy something in this city.
Three cheers for commerce.
Yeah. What's that mean?
Commerce. If you transact with people, they'll transact. I don't know.
All right. Here's a challenge. Go out without any money, all right, and walk around the city all day long. No money. You can't buy anything. And see how hard it is for you to go to the bathroom several times. It's ridiculous.
Even with money, it's hard for me to go more than a couple of times.
Yeah. Phone company notes. A few phone company changes here, which might be interesting. Did you know that VoiceStream is no longer VoiceStream anymore? Now they're called T-Mobile. That's right. First was OmniPoint, then it was VoiceStream, now it's T-Mobile.
Right. This is their German name.
Yeah, exactly. They don't say it anywhere, but this is actually part of Deutsche Telekom. And actually, let's see if they have the new number or if they have the old name. At our favorite place, 800 information. This is where you get to interact with a computer.
Toll-free directory assistance, powered by TellMe. Say the full name of the listing you want.
VoiceStream.
Here are three matching listings. For VoiceStream customer care, press 1. For VoiceStream information line, press 2. For VoiceStream sales service, press 3.
No, you got it wrong.
Or if you don't know which listing you want, press star.
Okay, so what we're going to do now is, since they still have the old name, let's see if they have the really old name.
Toll-free directory assistance, powered by TellMe. Say the full name of the listing you want.
OmniPoint.
Here are three matching listings.
How about that?
For OmniPoint customer service, press 1. For OmniPoint sales center, press 2. For OmniPoint Technologies Incorporated, press 3.
Okay. And of course, they must have T-Mobile. I'm not going to waste another phone call calling about that. But basically, it's changed for the third time in a few years. VoiceStream was, of course, the GSM provider in this part of the country. T-Mobile now is taking over, and I don't know if that means anything, the fact that they're in Germany and here, if we're going to get some kind of price break or better roaming rates or anything like that.
Don't count on it.
No, I'm not counting on it. They have expanded coverage in California, upstate New York, Virginia, central Pennsylvania, and northern Ohio. You know, it's funny because I looked at my VoiceStream bill, which, by the way, VoiceStream is a company that tells you the people that are calling you on your bill. Incoming calls have the phone number listed, which Sprint does not. Add it to the list of things Sprint doesn't do. And I noticed that I'm being charged for the junk messages that they send me. You know, they've always been sending me news headlines every day, which, you know, I don't even look at anymore. And I realize I'm being charged for those, so I'm trying to turn them off. I went to their website, and it asked me for a password, and I don't know what my password is because I've never used it before. Actually, I did use it years and years ago. I don't remember what the password is. So you can click on something and send the password to your phone. So what a great way to get right through security. Simply borrow somebody's phone, call a friend, say, okay, click it now. You click the person's phone number. It shows up on the phone what their password is, and you can do anything you want to their phone. How easy is that?
It's pretty easy.
Pretty easy, yeah. Speaking of Sprint, what Sprint does... Do you know what Sprint has been doing lately? They've been calling me every single day, reminding me to pay my bill. My bill's not even late. Okay, maybe it's like 3 days late. Verizon, New York Telephone, 9X, Bell Atlantic, all those companies, they never contact you at all unless there's two bills outstanding. And as far as I know, most other companies don't do that either. Sprint has become the biggest annoyance. They fill up your voicemail box with messages. They call you when you're busy. And you know, as you've noticed, it's almost impossible to understand what they're saying because they use such a bad connection. And lately they've started sending me text messages as well. It's really, really annoying.
Some bizarre fax machine has kept calling me.
How do you know it's a fax machine?
It makes fax tones.
Okay. Well, fax tones aren't really made until a handshake is... you're just hearing the beep every 5 seconds or something?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's trying to establish something.
Right, but I'm not a fax machine, so it fails.
You want me to lend you a fax machine and you can receive the fax?
I don't know how to hook it up to my cell phone.
Oh. Yeah, that's a problem. Okay, so forward the number to a fax machine and we'll get it that way.
It's a lot of work.
No, it's *72 and followed by the number.
All right, maybe.
We'll work it out later. Cable and wireless, they're also changing. They are changing to Primus. That's right. Cable and wireless is no longer providing retail long-distance phone service in the United States. They're going to be merging with Primus Telecommunications, and that means that Primus will automatically become your long-distance telephone company, assuming that you have cable and wireless, no earlier than October 20th and no later than January 13th.
Now I'm confused.
Uh-huh.
Trademark. I mean, isn't Primus either a stove or a modern rock group?
Yeah, but you see, it's not likely that you would think that a stove or a modern rock group was providing you a long distance service.
Well,
so
hey, wait a moment. Whoa, I was just confused.
Yeah, but you see, you're different.
Oh, okay.
All right. Remember, everybody says you're different. So.
Well, they said that about you too. So.
Yeah. Well. Continuing along here with phone news, this is interesting. Maybe somebody can help me interpret this one. Important news regarding wireless calls. This comes from, you know, they always rename the little thing that comes with the phone bill. It's called Extra now. Remember, it was called Hello when it was New York Telephone. It was called something else into 9X, something else into Bell Atlantic, but now it's called Extra because it's the only extra thing you're ever going to get from them. Important news regarding wireless calls. What exactly does this mean? Due to changes in billing arrangements between Verizon and wireless phone service providers, calls made to wireless phone numbers that are not in your local calling area may soon be assessed toll charges. Okay, what does that mean? First of all, if you call anything that is not in your local calling area, you may be assessed toll charges. In fact, you probably will be. I don't know what they're saying. If I call a wireless phone number outside my local area, how is that going to be any different than calling
a regular?
Maybe
if it's a local number, but the phone moves.
Right, that's what I would interpret it as being. Because now they're going to soon have
You see, the wireless phone number that is not in your local calling, not the wireless phone, the phone number. The phone number is staying in my local calling area. And that person's already paying for roaming charges, so it's not like they have to make it up somehow.
So they're double dipping.
That's if it means that, and I don't think it means that.
Okay.
Well, if anyone understands this, please let me know, because it's really confusing.
Maybe we should ask them once in a while.
Occasionally, they throw something in there that's just really a mystery. All right, and here's something else that's going to affect everybody in the city. Just a reminder that you should be dialing 1 plus the 3-digit area code plus the 7-digit number to make local calls within area codes 212-718-917-646 and 347, even if you're dialing to another number in your own area code. Your rates in local calling area are not changing, in contradiction to what was said on the other page. A local call is still a local call. A toll call is still a toll call. But calls within your area code will still be completed by dialing just a 7-digit phone number until February 1st, 2003. After that, you'll need to dial 1 plus the area code plus the 7-digit number. Now, here's my question, all right? Why do you have to dial the 1? What's the point of dialing the 1 anymore? It can't possibly be confusing it with a local exchange because
That's
you can't
true.
Dial the local exchange. So why in God's name do you need to dial a 1 still?
Why don't we point that out to them?
Yeah, I intend to. As soon as you find me somebody I can point it out to, it makes no sense at all. No sense. Let's see if we can dial 10-digit number. Get to BAI. I dialed 9. You're not supposed to dial 9 here. Okay. 1-212. Okay. That's us. We have a distinctive ring. Yeah, that's our ring. That's definitely our ring. Now, let's see if it happens if you dial without the 1. Uh-oh. Our switch kicked in and got confused, I think. We're going to get some kind of crazy recording.
I'm sorry. The number you have reached, area code 212-921-2209. Is not in service at this time. No further information
I didn't dial that.
Is available.
Oh, that's interesting.
I don't know. Maybe there's some way that it interpreted it that way. But okay, so that's what's happening there. 10-digit dialing. 11-digit dialing, actually. That's going to be a real pain, I'll tell you that. From cell phones, you know, cell phones you can dial 7 digits if it's in 917. You have a cell phone that's in 646.
Yes.
Does that mean you can dial the people in 646 without dialing the area code?
I don't know so many people in 646.
Well, call yourself, you know, see if it rings busy or whatever. I don't know. Our phone number is 212-209-2900. Eventually, everyone's going to have to dial that. There won't be anyone who can just dial 209-2900. Everyone will have to dial. The only people who have a shortcut are people here in the station who can probably just dial 2900. I don't know if we can even do that.
Well, they could just walk in.
Yeah. Eventually, that's what everyone's going to have to do. Okay, a couple of more pieces of mail, and then we'll take some phone calls. As always, there's so much that I want to get to that we just don't have time for. How about some critical mail? Critical mail is always fun. You know, there's too much, both here and everywhere, all right, on the major networks and here at this radio station. I think there's too much preaching to the choir, people agreeing. Let's disagree, all right? Let's fight. Commenting on your short, this actually is about the website, not the radio show, but it's all tied together. Commenting on your short article about the Palestinian ISP shutdown, which I believe, Mike, you wrote that article.
Sure, now they're going to come after me.
Well, yeah. They already have your address, so they asked for it. I wonder if the Israel shut it down because certain... wait a minute. I wonder if the Israel... I guess I got to make this literate to start with.
The Israelis?
Okay. This person wants to know if Israel shut it down because certain terrorist organizations were using it to send directions on what to bomb, who to attack, etc. Try not to be so one-sided in your comments. I think you should include a comment on perhaps why the Israelis could be justified in doing what they are doing. Well, let's talk about one-sidedness here.
I would claim that they're not justified, so no such comment exists, but that's just me.
Yeah, well, okay, well... are the Palestinians shutting down Israeli ISPs? Maybe they'd be justified in doing that. Is that one-sided, or is that fair?
I will make a promise that if Palestine uses the rule of law to shut down an Israeli ISP, I will write a news story about it.
Yeah.
Even if I'm like no longer in New York, no longer anywhere, I will come back and write
that.
No,
that's preferential treatment. I think we should be focusing on any country that is engaging in censorship of either its own citizens or citizens in occupation or other countries or whatnot. But we've gotten a lot of hate mail because of that story, you know, and it's it really annoys me because the story was not a justification for bus bombings or terrorism or anything. It was basically pointing out that people's freedom of speech is being curtailed. And you could say, oh, but they're abusing their freedom of speech. You don't know that. You weren't there. You weren't looking at what was being said. How can you make an assumption like that?
Should be noted that the huge majority of the customers of this ISP, although by no means all, are actually university students who need to communicate with their professors by email because their freedom of movement has been so limited.
What kind of university students?
University.
Palestinians, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we know what they're doing. Well. All this quarterbacking from far away, it's really, really silly. And I think we need to think critically. Something we don't do over here.
Of course,
here.
Now that we've mentioned this on the air, we can get more hate mail.
OTH@2600.com. Send it all in, all right? Because I'm ready for it. I'm ready for it.
I prefer hard copy hate mail, so send that to Off the Hook, care of WBAI, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005.
And if it's really hateful, put Attention Jim on it. let's see what else. A lot of people wrote in to say they've been fingerprinted buying things in stores using checks and things like that, like we talked about last week. apparently that's policy already in a few places, but we don't have time to get into that.
If you're an amputee, week. I'd love to know what they do to you.
That's a good question.
So if you are an amputee out there and you buy a high-ticket item in a store where they fingerprint most people, let us know what happens.
Yeah. Okay, one more piece of mail, and then we'll get to the phones, 212-209-2900. Your knee-jerk reaction to tips... The terrorist information, what is it again? Terrorist information, whatever. You know what it is. We'll talk about it. Your knee-jerk reaction to tips is ignorant and unhelpful. This is not a program of Americans spying on each other, as you put it. This is a big, free country. The authorities cannot be everywhere trying to prevent the kind of tragedy that happened on 911. You do remember 911. Okay, now I'm pissed off, because whenever people start to say that, oh, you don't care about all the people that were victimized because you're criticizing something, which is what this person is doing by saying, oh, you do remember 911. That's where you go too far. That's where you abuse the right to be treated intelligently. This is not a question as to who is more concerned about saving innocent lives and who is not. This is a question about a stupid policy that is going to be harmful. What you're going to see with programs like TIPS, which basically, in case people don't know about it, it's the program where people are encouraged to look for anything or anyone unusual all around and report it to a hotline, and all kinds of action will be taken. You're going to see situations like what happened to the three Muslim students that were heading to Florida a couple of weeks ago, where they were pulled over, had their bags blown up, and were taken into custody for 13 hours because some nitwit thought that they were terrorists because they were Muslim and they didn't understand what they were saying. And I don't think you could have found the better three people to point out how stupid that whole policy was. Did you see them on TV at all?
I didn't, no.
They basically said, you know, they had an answer for every possible crazy scenario this person came up with. This person said that they were plotting to bring down a building, and they were able to point out, no, we were plotting to bring down a car. Because one of us didn't have a car, we were going to be bringing it down. That's what we meant by that. This person was in a restaurant overhearing their conversation and getting it all wrong. These people were not criticizing the cops for what they did to them. They said they were treated, you know, quite nicely given the circumstances. They understood why, you know, they'd be upset, but they wanted to to prove their innocence, and I think they did a very good job of it. And they also said they have no intention of suing anybody, which I think is a very nice thing to say as well. But this is the kind of thing you will get when untrained people are out there passing judgments saying, you know, this is a terrorist, this is a terrorist, this person is suspicious. Can you honestly go out into the street right now and point out who is innocent and who is guilty just by looks?
Well, we're on Wall Street, so there's a lot of guilty people.
I won't even, you know, touch that remark. I'm not going to pass judgment. Actions speak louder than sight. All right, 212-209-2900 is our phone number. So, should we take the first call and hope it's not who we think it is? Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hi. How you doing?
Fine. Three things, actually. Number one, I don't know if you saw Newsweek with the Muslim Hackers Club.
Muslim article. Hackers Club? No, let's hear about
this.
Yeah,
it was a small blurb that somebody was out in, like, Beirut or Ramallah with the Muslim Hackers Club and giving explicit directions on how to hack into people's systems and other stuff. It's a blurb in Newsweek that I picked up at a doctor's office and was reading, and I wanted to follow that up with. Of course, they didn't give any details like where you could find them on the web or anything like that, just that they were out there. And I was like, you know, the Arab people have had such a bad time of it recently that this is not helpful. You know, it's not the kind of information that appears to have any substantial basis.
Well, I mean, at least if you're going to report a story like that, give some details to what you're talking about.
Yeah, give some details. And the second thing about those three Muslim students, as one of the other WBAI hosts said, you know, they were discharged from their residency at the hospital as a result of being stopped.
And even that, they said they understood because the hospital was getting all kinds of death threats. Imagine the sickos that would threaten them even after they were exonerated.
And exactly what government office did they go to get their reputations and their careers back?
Yeah.
You know, for all this. They had answers for that. These are just guys going down to complete their medical education. So, you know, it is just one big sad commentary on trying to inform on your neighbors.
And you know what else is annoying about this is the person who made the mistake, and it's pretty damn obvious she made a mistake, refuses to accept that, refuses to even apologize to them, just saying that, oh, they're hiding something still. Hasn't learned a thing.
Yeah, well, you know, people, what can I tell you?
Yeah.
And the last comment that I wanted to make was that I saw recently that in addition to the misuse of the word hacker, any sort of computer crime now is you can't hear the word computer crime without hearing the word hacker.
That's true.
Or terrorist. And I'm saying, well, no, this is people who commit crimes on computers are called criminals. There's a name for that.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they do it with somebody sticks a gun in your face, or they manage to figure out how to get into your bank account and empty it, it's the same impulse. It has nothing to do with the type.
Right. There's a word for every crime that is committed on a computer. You don't need to use the word hacker for that because that's not what it is. It's there's all kinds of crimes you can commit. You don't need to be a particularly good hacker to commit any of them.
Right.
Being a criminal is really, you know, it's not that difficult to commit crimes. It's more difficult to be a good criminal and get away with it, but it's not that difficult. Hacking is fairly difficult because you have to continuously be doing something and devoted to the task.
Yes. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
212-209-2900. And good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. You were asking about the name Innocent.
There were
13 popes named Innocent.
Oh, yeah, the popes.
Yes, and they weren't usually so innocent. and also, the nightmare bathroom of hell is in the Times Square Virgin Megastore in the lower level. I think the management goes out of their way to make it, like, horrible, stinky, and like, you don't want to go there.
But they let you go there.
They let you go there. And then the bathrooms in Barnes & Noble are pretty nice.
Uh-huh.
They let you in. And then McDonald's is kind of like a little kind of power trip on whoever has the key.
Has anyone ever done this in like The Voice or Time Out or something? A comprehensive guide to bathrooms in New York?
Well, there's like a whole...
What a great idea.
There's a kind of oral underground of people telling people like that have to go to the bathroom.
You mean just a bathroom newsletter, period? That would be kind of cool.
Well,
or a bathroom website.
There's a book and a website.
There's a book.
Yeah,
but
I met the woman. I can't remember
the name. Maybe it should be a radio show.
Seriously, you got to see that horrible bathroom at Virgin Megastore is worth the trip just because it's so disgusting.
Okay, well, that's a start.
Yeah.
We can have a list of the worst possible bathroom in New York. Maybe we should award it something.
I think they have, like, they actually, like, go out of their way in a kind of artful way to make it stinky and horrible.
Well, the point is, though, you're going to say the bathroom in the basement of Virgin Megastore in Times Square, but obviously only half of us can appreciate that, unless they're both like that. You know what I mean?
Because I haven't been in the Virgin Megastore in the Union Square.
That's not what I mean.
What do you
mean?
Generally
two...
and in the men's room.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the men's room. I think the women's room is kept a little cleaner because there's usually the ammonia smell coming out of there.
Uh-huh.
So they just want to scorch people's eyes into not staying there too long.
Okay, well, I think we've exhausted the subject, but thanks.
Okay,
thanks for calling.
I'm glad I could contribute.
Yes. I don't know what kind of contribution this is going to lead to, but let's go over here. Good evening. You're on the Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, how are you? Two things. One, I heard we're back on yellow.
Yeah, we're back on yellow.
Don't
you hear how relaxed we are now?
Is New York on yellow?
Oh, you know, New York has always been on a different color. I don't agree with that. Pataki went and changed us to orange without authorization.
Yeah, I know. And is there anywhere we can find out what New York's color is?
You know, there probably is. I don't have it with me, but someone should be able to tell us what color we are.
Because I'm not as relaxed as I want to be.
Yeah, and you should
be.
And
if we were yellow, we could be more relaxed.
Yeah. Yeah. If
like
we were green.
Like the rest of this fine country. And the other thing, is I just walked in Park Slope, Brooklyn, past a T-Mobile store that had both a T-Mobile neon sign and a VoiceStream neon sign.
Oh, really? Ask them if they sell OmniPoint service.
I wonder if they still had an OmniPoint sign, but they didn't. I didn't see one.
Okay. Well, thanks for the update.
Bye-bye.
Oh, I forgot to ask them what the bathroom was like. Oh. Next time. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello.
Go ahead.
I was in the listening to the entire program, so I wanted to know if you had mentioned what the reason was for adding the extra three digits in front of all the telephone numbers now.
You know, that's one thing they haven't given us as a reason. I mean, I would imagine it has to do with some kind of confusion because there's so many area codes now. But, you know, if you leave it to people, I don't know why it can't work both ways, especially since you have to dial the one. Why can't they leave it so you can do it either 7 digits or 10 digits?
Right.
I don't know the reason. I'm hard-pressed to find out what the reason is. And if anybody out there knows, please let us know, because it's ridiculous. And I think most people are going to be very upset having to dial an extra 4 digits to dial local numbers.
Yeah, this has actually been in place for some time in Central Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty annoying.
Now, do you have to dial 1 first?
Yeah, we have to dial 1. We've actually had to do it for about a year now.
So unless you're calling the police or something, every phone number you dial begins with a 1.
Yep.
And if you don't dial the 1, you get a scolding recording?
Yeah, pretty much, yep.
I don't get that at all.
See, in Massachusetts, I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe you have to dial 10 digits. The 1 is optional.
In Central Jersey?
In Massachusetts.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
Yeah, the 1 should be optional. Yeah, absolutely. What do you need the 1 for?
What happens when you then get to your bank and have to key in digits to identify your account or whatever? If the 1 is optional, if it's hardwired into the phone, you'll be sending, when you want to send like a 2 to your bank, you'll send a 1 and then a 2.
Huh? I don't know, Jim. We'll disagree with you there.
I'm sure there are listeners who understood perfectly.
Yeah, okay. Let's go to another phone call here. Good evening. You're on the air. Speak up, please.
Hello.
Yes,
hi.
Go ahead.
Yes, I know that bathrooms aren't your topic, but I had to say this.
Okay.
Sorry. The Bryant Park bathrooms have just been redone, and they're gorgeous.
Oh, yeah, I've heard
and
about that.
Everybody should go.
Uh-huh. Are they open around the clock?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
But they do clean them, like, every 5 minutes, and they have fresh flowers in there. The only thing they don't
Wait, I have a feeling that you're only going to the to the ones
that I hope she is.
I don't think that the ones we go to would have fresh flowers. I would like to think that.
This is Bryant Park. I was there a couple weeks ago. It's really amazing. And
but you weren't in the Bryant Park men's room now, were you?
No, but it was right across the hall, and I did get to see it. I peeked in there.
Were there flowers?
I can't help it.
Were there naked men?
No, were there flowers?
I didn't see any flowers in there.
I don't think there's flowers.
But they're on the walls. They have tiles. They're really pretty. And I can't say enough about this bathroom.
Okay, well, we have to check that out, too.
The only thing you can't get there is a drink of cool water. Because I think you have to buy that at the Starbucks stand, you know?
Yeah, well, I don't usually go to a bathroom for a drink of
Hey, you know, if you don't have a dollar and you want a drink of water.
Yeah, well, yeah. You should go to a water fountain or something.
I don't think they have any there. But everybody should check it out.
Okay, well, I'm sure a lot of people will now. Thanks for that tip.
Okay, bye.
All right, 212-209-2900. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, I'm calling from Indiana with the conference call feature.
Are you? What direction are you heading in, Rebel?
To Chicago.
That's a little further away. Good. Okay, and from there, I assume you'll be venturing into Canada and points northwest.
No, maybe
over the Bering Strait and
maybe like Montana
into the Bering Strait. Okay, well, quickly then, what's on your mind?
Let's see.
It shouldn't take long.
I notice that every morning at 9 o'clock, I don't have to set my alarm clock because I get a call from a telemarketer. And, you know, telemarketers, instead of them doing like, you know, like they get annoyed when, I mean, people get annoyed at telemarketers when they call people. So they, you know, instead of telemarketers just saying, all right, we're not going to deal with the people hanging up on us or telling us to take us off their call. What they do is they play a recording, because nobody can talk to a recording.
Yeah, and that puts you on hold. Let me ask you another unrelated question. Why are you in Indiana?
Passing through just to, you know, to drop somebody's car off that I happen to have.
Be driving, uh-huh.
Yeah.
And did you think about how you're going to continue moving around once you do that?
Yeah, once I do that, I'm going to take another car either back home or maybe hopefully out west, because I'd like to go to the West Coast, because I wanted to go to the Louisiana where the hurricane was, because, you know, I've never seen a hurricane.
I'd like you to do that, too. So let's maybe get a fund together to send you into the eye of the storm. Rebel, we're out of time, so I'm gonna wish you well, and hopefully we'll hear from you again sometime. And since we're out of time, we're going to take one more phone call. Good evening. You're on the air. Don't want that to be the last one. What's on your mind?
Oh, my goodness, the last one, because I've got the answer for you.
Okay, what's that?
The reason... I just want to go back, like, real quick. I told you that when I check into my email, mm-hmm. it used to be only 5 cookies that I have to okay to get in. Then it turned out to be 89.
Okay.
Because they've changed the rules, and they can tap in or listen to or do whatever they want to do now.
Who's they?
Whoever they is. You know who they is.
Well, who's your mail provider?
Well, Netscape, AOL, Net Name, Screen Name, My Screen Name. They got all kinds of covers that they hide under. But they've partnered with the government. The government's in our faces and checking on everything. But the reason for the 1212, 1718, whatever,
yes.
is so that they can track every call that you make from your phone. Otherwise, just making a local call, they can't do that.
Why do you think they can't do that for a local call?
Because it goes through a different network, it goes directly.
No,
it's an electronic switching kind of thing.
It goes to the exact same network. In the old days, I will agree with you. I used to be able to, in the Western Suffolk, to dial 1516 in a local number, and it would go all the way through NASA and back. But now they're a little bit too intelligent for that, and they route it exactly the same way. I could talk about this for hours, but we unfortunately are out of time. So thanks for that call.
Okay.
And we are
they're doing it.
Okay. Well, thanks for letting us know that. We're out of time. We'll be back again next week with all kinds of other developments and fun things to update people on. Until then, have yourselves a good week. Send us stories. Send us comments. OTH@2600.com. For everybody, this is Manuel Goldstein. Have yourselves a good night. Take care.
We're marching out the old towards the new century, armed with the new technology. We're getting more and more productivity. Some say things looking up for prosperity, but if everyone gon' get a share this time, well, mentality must get left behind. We want the shorter working day, give it the shorter working week. Longer holiday, we need peace and pay. More time for leisure, more time for pleasure, more time for edification, more time for recreation, more time to contemplate, more time to ruminate, more time. We need more time. Do it more time.
Less than 2 months after the inauguration of right-wing President